Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Agriculture Show. Today, we are live. We are live at a field day put on by FS Partners in the beautiful township of North Dumfries. As usual, you're listening to us at 102.7, radiovalley.ca, CKMS. And returning Devin Homick here. He was on our show. I want to tell our listeners a little bit about what we're doing here today. You could, please?
Yeah, sure. So we have our Bringing What's Next tour. We do it annually here in at the air site. We also run another one up north towards Elmvale. This year we're holding it actually at the Nottawasaga on Thursday. So it's kind of a taking a look at the crops, different things that we're doing in the crops, and guys can walk around. Farmers get to see different sites and all the stuff we're doing in corn, soybeans, wheat. There's alfalfa out there and all different, even a patch of rye out here this year.
Yes.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jim Irvin. I'm a grain originator for Great Lakes Grain, covering a territory basically from Lake Huron right across and up to Georgian Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And in our area, we see a wide variety of crops, mixed crops, all the way from canola to corn, soybeans, wheat, and in the south here, we have rye as well.
Very nice.
What kind of song do Ride a Cowboy or something like that? A lot of cowboys around here today.
Sure.
Sure. So I'm actually born and raised south of Tillsonburg. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a Black Angus cattle farm there. And so my parents are both still around with us, and I got three other siblings. I got two brothers and a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of grandchildren there. So there's I have four children myself, and then there's another seven nieces and nephews that would join us for a nice Christmas feast. And then if I get on the Quebec side, you don't even want me starting putting those numbers down.
Well, okay, well, there's my wife, Andrea, and myself, and then my mother and my two brothers. I have twin brothers, and my one brother has three kids and his wife. So I guess all together, around Christmas time, it would be about 12 people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So tell us what you do.
Sure. So I'm a grain origination coach. So I'm responsible for the FS Partners trading territory. So that would, mm-hmm, be from the north shores of Lake Erie right up through to Georgian Bay in that area, and responsible for helping with origination strategies and buying grain out there in the country. So buying grain from the farmer. So
yes,
we get in the middle of the transaction
and help
the farmer facilitate their grain and get it to the end user. Yeah, so there's multiple markets. If you take corn, for instance,
mm-hmm,
corn's going to local ethanol plants,
yes,
going to starch mills. A lot of it hits the export market.
Mm-hmm.
So and it'll go up the water up into the St. Lawrence and head east on boats. So it's amazing what people don't realize how much corn is into in everyday products. One nice thing about farmers, they're definitely very passionate about what they do. It's a livelihood for them as well as a business. And so it's they take a lot of pride in the crop that they grow, whether it's corn, soybeans, wheat. Those would be our three predominant ones that we deal with in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is with farmers out there, they're always looking to kind of feed the countryside,
mm-hmm,
right? Looking to support different products that go into it. So whether it's starches that go and syrups that go into their corn syrup and things like that, it's amazing if you were to actually look at what products all of our commodities go into.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you want to add to that a little bit?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, I came out of school in the late 70s, and you know, I was one of only a couple of people that actually went in, you know, into agriculture, and only one person from my class at that time went into agriculture, went back home to farm. It seemed to be, at that point, farming wasn't cool.
Mm.
But now,
yeah,
you know, we're seeing more and more farm kids and other people go to the agricultural colleges around the country, particularly Ridgetown, and farming is cool now. It's a main industry, and
yeah,
it's a big thing, and, you know, it's not just something people go home to do. It's very attractive, and we're drawing more and more people to it. It's one of the best things going right now.
You know, that's a good point, because at this stage yet, there are still more jobs for people in agriculture than there are graduates of colleges and stuff. I think that's that, do you have a sense of that? Is that true?
I do. There's room in it for a lot of people to come into, and it is cool to be a farmer.
Yeah.
Farmers, not the simply the broken old truck coming to town. We've got modern equipment. We're very mechanized now, and it's a big industry, not only here in Ontario, in this region, but right across the country.
So let's just go over that theme. Let's say you're a person in town, some of our fine listeners, you got a teenager, and you don't know what to do. Just tell those prospective people just what technology and what neat things are sitting around this site here today. I see drones flying around. I see big machinery. What kind of...
You just hit it on the head there.
Yeah.
We've got a drone that can go in and measure what your yield is in your crop or when it needs sprayed. We've got very modern tractors, very modern sprayers. Used to be a farmer would probably go over his crop once or twice a year. They're in there multiple times now, and making the land more productive. Our yields have gone up, and we're feeding a lot more people in the world. And it's a good time to be a farmer.
Yeah. We need programmers. We need people who can operate machinery. We need people who can interpret test results, make recommendations. A lot of skills there.
Yeah, it's a great time for young people to come into agriculture.
Yeah.
We actually have a great group of young people that are in university and college ranks that work in our intern program or our co-op program.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always promoting that because we're, with an aging population, we're going to have that age of people that start retiring in agriculture too, and there's going to be a lot of opportunity for new youth to come up and have a great career opportunity.
Yeah, good stuff. And you guys are good spokespersons for our industry here, agriculture, and I just want to thank you so much for stopping for a few minutes saying hello and what's going on. Any last words? Did we forget to talk anything? We talked about, you're living down there in Aylmer and over by the lake yourself, Jim. I've forgotten already. Where's your home at?
Actually, I'm from Grand Valley,
which
is at the headwaters of the Grand River, not far from the river here today. So, I would say remember, if you ate today, thank a farmer.
Right.
I heard a good
corollary of that. If you ate today, thank a farmer, and if you're a farmer, thank a consumer. That makes, because it works both ways, right?
Yeah. So we appreciate you talking to Devin and I here today, and we encourage everyone out there, if you're looking at a career, think of agriculture. And there's a lot of opportunities, and the biggest thing probably, if you're driving down the road, then you have to be aware of the farmers out there and be careful.
Be careful, there's a lot of big machinery out there. So, and we know the music you like, it's Ride a Horse and I'm a Country Boy. Got that right?
Thank God I'm a country boy.
I hope I can stick that in the final broadcast and you can look at that podcast. It should be up on the Radio Waterloo site as soon as your lovely host here can get his wits about him and get it all edited up. But thanks for listening in today. If you are 102.7 CKMS and it's the Agriculture Show. And what else did we talk about, you guys? We talked about, so there's lots of science going on in agriculture. There's job opportunities. And you have a special part of that, you two guys. You're grain originators by title. But for our listeners, that you buy the crops from farmers. And then once that process starts, it goes to make an ethanol or goes offshore or feeds cows or something.
Yep. Right. Yeah, it's hitting multiple markets out there.
Well, I think of it. How is the price of corn set in Ontario?
So the price of corn actually back in May, prices got up to about $5.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it settle back quite a bit. We've lost about 50 cents in value here just in the last little bit, Jeff.
Yeah, with the new... it's relatively new guy, president of the States and his trade he was doing. So when you buy that corn, and the price is determined by, I think it's by Chicago and by local basis. Can you explain to our listeners what that means?
Yeah, sure. So everything that we deal with in our trading territory is done on the Chicago Board of Trade. So that's the big trading house in Chicago itself. Jim and I actually had the pleasure of touring it there right before they closed up the pit trading, and it's all gone to electronic trade now.
Yeah.
But then from there we have a basis which takes into consideration local demand, some logistic issues and things like that on the crop, and it actually sets our Canadian value for that crop. So you take it from a U.S. value, which is trading on Chicago as a U.S. value, and then you convert that to a Canadian value by taking our landed basis here locally.
Yeah. Well, lots of fascinating terms there, and I hope our listeners can appreciate there's more to selling and buying and selling crops than just, you know, that day, what's going on. It has to be influenced by rural demand and our local demand.
Definitely. There's a lot of cogs to that make it all work.
Yeah. So we'll wrap up here, but I have one sort of – oh, actually, I got two more things I want to do. It just occurred to me, what's the most interesting thing one of our city listeners has asked you? Do they ask you, for instance – Do brown cows give brown milk? What is the most kind of like unusual thing you've heard? Or if not, maybe you haven't, I don't know.
Wow, that's...
just for fun.
Well, no, I've heard that expression before, brown cows give brown milk. But basically, you know, I think the more and more... the kids in the school now are being probably a lot more educated on what's going on on the farms than their parents were, particularly those kids from the cities, because the messages are getting put out there by the teachers now, more or less. And that comes a lot from ag awareness programs that the different commodity groups are doing with the schools now, you know, and I think, that's, you know, kind of a roundabout way. I know the different soil and crop committees across the province are going to the schools, or the schools are coming to them through ag awareness, and the kids are becoming more aware just, you know, what the different crops are, where they're grown, where they go, and what they're good for, I guess. So that, a roundabout question. I'm not getting those unusual questions. You know, there have been some hot-button topics, but I'm just not going to go there today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to right off the bat, before I forget, is just want to thank you guys for stepping up here and talking about agriculture. Most of our commodity organizations and the advertising they do, they really say the best spokespersons for our craft are the actual people doing it. We're authentic, and it's not highly produced. Here we are with noises in the background, having fun out in a sunny day in Ontario.
Sure.
But this is a real deal here. This is the real thing you listen to, folks. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. One last question for both of you guys. I'd like to ask, what are you doing in the next 2 hours and 2 days and 2 weeks and 2 months and 2 years and 20, if you want to put it in there? Devin, you want to start with that, please?
Sure.
So
in the next couple hours, actually, Jim and I will be doing a talk here for all the growers here today. There's probably going to be at least 100 growers here today.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a talk on the grain markets as to what's kind of been making them tick and where they've been going.
Yeah.
As of in the next couple, you know, one thing to get away from agriculture, I'm big involved in sports and stuff like that. So that'll be the next thing. My kids will be starting up hockey again here shortly, so I'll be getting involved in that. So just to get it a little bit, to make it that I'm a real person here, not just agriculture. There's other stuff involved in my life as well.
Yes, yeah, they're real people, and you're putting kids through school and trying to make a living here. So that's a good deal. What about, that's the next 2 weeks, 2 months? Did we cover 2 months?
Yep.
Okay. Any holidays for you in that mix?
Yeah, I actually have to take a couple weeks here that need to get used, which will be some great family time.
Yeah,
you know, we'll do some. Usually, I take a trip. My wife is from Quebec originally, so usually we take a week over in Quebec, and then I'll get a week of some local time. We got lovely beaches and stuff like that we can take advantage of, and some day trips in around Norfolk County, where I mostly reside in.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. And then 20 years, not too far out. Are you going to be a grandfather by then?
Oh, gosh, I don't know about that yet, but you never know. Definitely. All I hope is that my kids can, you know, healthy and happy. So.
That's true. And Jim, yourself, I'll give you the same thing. What are you doing next 2 hours and 2 days?
I'm like Devin, and we're going to do a presentation here talking about the grain markets to the group here today. We're going to talk about the markets and what we're going to try and offer our opinion or some advice to the growers here on what they should be looking at as far as crops, how to market them. Within the next couple of weeks, probably we're going to be right into wheat harvest.
Yes.
And, you know, we could be into it by the end of the week in some areas. And we'll try and offer the same point, offer the farmer logistics for getting that either to the elevator or to an end destination. And if he hasn't already marketed it, we'll offer some marketing advice to get the best possible value we can get for that grower.
Mm-hmm. And in 2 months, are you planning your Cuba vacation yet?
Well, that would be sure nice. I'm hoping for something. It doesn't always work out. We'll have to wait and see how that goes. Basically, once we start harvest in our business, which is coming up on this weekend, mm-hmm. we are busy, with the handling of the crop right up till Christmas.
Yeah.
Then we clear it out of the bins for the next year. It's just it's a big circle. It's a year-round business.
You're busy yep. guys there. You know what? I'm going to just I got some I want you guys to read for me, and I just got in my little pack there. So tell us a little story for 5 minutes. Tell us about your hobbies.
Well, I have an unusual hobby. A couple of them actually. I actually announced the stock car races at Sauble Speedway, and done that for 34 years. So, and when I'm not doing that, I play fly ball with my dogs, which is basically drag racing for dogs. You know, have the lights and everything. So one lane against the other. So I kind of got the need for speed. So. For many years I was involved in hockey as well.
I'm glad I asked. I knew that you had mentioned it before, and that's what we want to do, is talk about these neat things that people are up to. And what I'd like to do last before we finish up, it's just lovely how this keeps on flowing on. I got all kinds of stuff I want to do. This is a promo that I'm handing you guys that I put them on in the air. Like in the next show I do for the agriculture show, I'll probably put you guys on there. I know, Devin, you did one like that before,
yep.
but this is updated because we have a new signal. We have a new Facebook video. Can't do that from here yet, but maybe another time. But we're live to air today at 102.7. Thanks for listening in. And if you guys want to take turns just reading that off, I'd be so delighted. Thanks, and thank you ahead of time.
Sure.
Just let her go. Want to go first, Devin? Or Jim? Yeah, you got the voice for it, Jim.
Okay, hi, this is Jim Irvin, and I'm from Great Lakes Grain. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are streaming live on the FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmers, producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
That's great, Jim. That's going to be a great thing. I can, when I do the final one, and you did the right thing as announcer, you just stopped and started again, so I can just merge them up. You're the best. Devin, you want to give this a whirl? Thanks.
Sure. Hi, this is Devin Homick from work for Great Lakes Grain. I live in Tillsonburg, Ontario. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show was made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
You guys, you have a second career. We'll just get you behind the desk. And of course, Jim, you already have the second career behind a microphone. So just want to thank you guys for taking the time today and talking to us today at the Agriculture Show. We're live to air at a site in North Dumfries Township, and the latest and greatest farm stuff is here. There's experts, there's advisors, and there's farmer guys running around, and we're just glad to be part of it. And thanks again, you guys, for coming up and helping out here. We're gonna go back to just some regular music here and stay locked in. We'll grab some more guests and hope your day goes well, Devin.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being a guest. Jim?
Thank you very much. It was great being here today.
All right, guys, and you're a great part of the agricultural message to our listeners. And so, folks, just go fresh up your coffee. We'll be back with some guests. In the meantime, we're going to play some music. We'll see you later. Talk to you again.
Hi, this is David Banbury from Banbury Grasslands in St. Agatha. We are streaming live on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promote local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the Waterloo region. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, I'm Tom Woodcock, planning ecologist at the Rare Charitable Research Reserve in Cambridge. Sound FM and the Agriculture Show are helping us promote responsible land management in the region of Waterloo and beyond. Please join us in supporting Community Radio, and together we can turn the map green.
Old and my radio flyer red cape tied around my neck. Top of Thompson's Hill, Billy said I was a liar, and now I'm scared half to death. Bet you said Billy was dumb, I shouldn't listen to him, but I had something to prove. Ain't nobody gonna call me a chicken, gotta do what you gotta do. I'm gonna fly space and gravity. I'm gonna fly, Billy, just you wait and see. I was just a kid, barely 18 years, and I couldn't wait to graduate. Confident and cocky, and man, they really got me when I heard my daddy say, get some knowledge, you gotta go to college, gotta make something of your life. But I had to do it my way, so I headed for the highway, and I followed those little white lines. I'm gonna fly, defying space and gravity. I'm gonna fly, making my own destiny. Well, I crashed in a burn, don't regret it, you only fail if you don't try. I'm gonna brush off the ashes and just forget it. I ain't perfect yet, but you can bet someday I'm gonna get my wings and fly. chasing gravity. I'm gonna fly. Yeah, you just got to believe. I'm gonna fly, making my own destiny. I'm gonna fly. Yeah, you just got to believe
beside a man from Hollywood, California on a plane. He said he had rich and famous friends. Yeah, he liked dropping names. I said, well, how'd it do? It's good for you. I dig a lot of those actors. But son, you ain't got a thing on me. See, I got friends with tractors. They'll grow your groceries, haul a load, pull you out, then fix the road. They're good at slowing speeders down when they pass through from out of town. I'll live out country, happily ever after. I got everything I need, cause I got friends with tractors. Come Friday night, we hit the woods, go bogging in our trucks. It's just about a guarantee some good old boy gets stuck. Where I come from, you can bet your butt, a mud hole ain't a factor. I'll sink mine to the floorboard, cause I got friends with tractors. They'll grow your groceries, haul a load, pull you out, then fix the road. They're good at slowing speeders down when they pass through from out of town. I'll live out in the country, happily ever after. I got everything I need, cause I got friends with tractors. Yeehaw! I've been to fancy five-star restaurants and I left there barely fed. They charge me for the water, the butter and the bread. That gourmet meal looked more to me like fish bait on a cracker. But I'll stay fat and happy, cause I got friends with tractors. And they'll grow your groceries, haul a load, pull you out, then fix the road. They're good at slowing speeders down when they pass through from out of town. We'll live out country, happily ever after. I got everything I need, cause I got friends with tractors. Yeah, I got everything I need, cause I got friends with tractors. Yeehaw! Yeah, man. Talking about Internationals and John Deere's, Massey Ferguson's, whatever you got. We don't discriminate. Front-end loaders, bush hogs, post-hole diggers. Need them. Gotta have them. I believe I do know one actor.
All right, here we are. It's the Agriculture Show. It's July the 11th today, I believe. 10th today. And Bruce Thompson is our guest today. And Bruce, you're the best. Just stopping in like this and doing this show. How are you doing today?
Good, Jeff. Thanks for being here.
I'm glad you're here. I want to ask you right off the bat, what kind of music do you like and what's your favorite artist?
Oh, probably country music. And we were just down to see Garth Brooks there not that long ago.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Good. Yeah.
Where did you see him at?
Well, actually, we've seen Garth, but it was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill for the down in London at the Labatt Center just recently.
Yeah, very good.
Are
you a regular concert goer? Do you like checking out shows once in a while, or how do you and music get along?
Well, usually the wife, she books it, and I go along.
Well, it's good as you get out. You enjoy the experience. It's nice to go hear music like at a show once in a while.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah.
So tell us about yourself, Bruce. Where do you call home?
Home's over by Hensel, Ontario.
Yeah.
So about an hour and a half drive here from air that we're at today.
And, Is everybody in Hensel as happy as they can be considering it's a bit dry?
The crops are looking very good considering, yes, we need a rain desperately. We actually started wheat harvest last night. I farm with my son, Stephen, and it's been very dry.
How many people sit around the Christmas feast table at the Thompson home?
Oh, gosh, there's going to be, let me think here, probably about 20.
20?
20, 25. We've got 11 grandchildren, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. There's lots of little ones around.
Do you have a favorite tradition? Is that the day you cut down the Christmas tree, or do you go skating, or do you?
No, usually just come over, have a big Christmas supper, and play lots of games during the afternoon with the grandchildren, and it's always good to have everybody over.
Your house is going to get too small after a while. Have you figured out what you're going to do next?
Well, actually, I built a shop there this past year, so there's lots of room out in the shop if we have to go that far.
That's a good idea. That's one thing about it. I'm glad you sat down here, Bruce, because you're actually wearing two hats today. You are not only a grower, but you are also an employee of FS Partners. Right?
Yes, I actually work for FSUPI Energy.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go.
On the energy side, selling propane, diesel fuel, DEF.
I had a chap from your group, Emil, was on.
Yes.
About 2 or 3 years ago. He's a very nice guy.
Right. Yes.
So, this is about agriculture, and we're going to, I guess, I'm just glad you came over, Bruce, because you're going to be our volunteer producer at this. We'll talk about the other. Let's do that right off the bat. Let's talk about what you do with UPI Energy.
So UPI Energy, I'm in their energy sales.
Yeah.
So I'm out in the road selling fuel, trying to pick up new business for them, and it's been going very well.
And that covers all of Ontario.
Pretty well, yes, all of southwestern Ontario. My division is, I guess, the lake up to Arthur, up to Hamilton, over to London, so big territory. But we, as a whole, cover southwestern Ontario.
So you're supplying all the farm guys mostly, but I think our urban listeners would have probably seen Ethanol Gas Bar.
Yes.
Are those facilities, like in Guelph, there's one, I know of that one.
Correct. There's over 50 different locations that we service as far as card lock and gas bars.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. That's
So a lot of trucking companies we hook up with.
Yeah, that's a full-time job, keeping all those guys happy. You know, they say about farmers, you know, what's the difference between a farmer out in the rain and a dog out in the rain? And when the dog gets inside, he quits whining sometimes, huh? Because you realize that joke you can put to a lot of different people, and I hope our listeners get that. So you're got that capacity, but tell us a little bit about your farm. So what are you all doing there in Hensel? Are you growing the corn and soybeans, maybe some sweet corn? I don't know. Tell us about your farm.
So we have a cash crop farm, which is corn, which is for grain for feed, or ethanol for the ethanol plant, and then soybeans and wheat.
Yeah.
And soft red winter wheat, and it's actually, I said, we started actually last night. So.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great.
My son should be combining. If he hears this, he should be combining in the field right now.
Yes, dear listeners, just tune in. This is CKMS, and you can listen to us on the FM band at 102.7. But also, if you have the internet available, we can go to our website and click on the Listen Live button, and you can hear our live-to-air broadcast today right from a demonstration site here in North Humphreys Township. And sitting with me is Bruce Thompson. Bruce, you've got wheat harvesting as we speak. I guess the next question is, tell us a little bit about what our public should know about agriculture. We all eat three times a day, but, we know there's lots of press about what goes on, but you know what? Majority of our owners, they just want to know, you know, whatever message you have about agriculture. If that's pretty long stretch here, what would you tell people about agriculture?
Well, I guess that sign that you see around the countryside, thank a farmers because you ate today, means a lot to everybody. It takes a lot of work to produce a good crop.
Yeah.
And I think everybody, all the farmers need to have a thank you for doing such a good job.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's part of the whole job is there's actually a corollary to that. A friend of mine corrected me. He says, every time you say, Jeff, that if you ate today, thank a farmer, also say, and if you're a farmer, thank a consumer.
Yes.
Makes sense, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because without the support of our urban listeners and neighbors, then, you know, that's why we're here to help. Farmers want to tell us, our urban listeners, our story, and we want to hear your story, too. So,
yeah. All in working together.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. Looking forward, after today, you have another show like this, I think it's happening. Are you going to the one in Orangeville is the next one, I think?
Over at Alliston.
Alliston, and, yeah.
I personally won't be there, but yes, there's going to be another one similar to this going on.
Yeah. So that's a lot of doing. You're meeting a lot of familiar faces here today, I suspect. Lots of guys that are part of your clients and part of your distribution area.
Yes, it's very nice to see all our current customers and potential new customers.
And neighbors.
Yes. Yes.
How many familiar faces do you know here besides your own local staff?
Oh, there's probably about 50 out there.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, yeah. It's good to see them all.
Yeah, nice stuff. We find out you're from Bruce, you're from Hensel, and you got 20 kids, 20 people sitting around a Christmas table. Is it chicken or is it turkey or ham that you like to have?
Oh, we usually have turkey and ham as well.
Very nice. And then you've got two hats today. You're you're here as you work with EPI Energy supplying fuels to the farms, to businesses, and to the public through the UPI gas bar network.
Yes, that's correct.
And you've started harvesting wheat already, so you can walk the talk as what it's like to be a farmer there. I guess you wish you had some more rain down your way.
Some rain would do the crops a world of good right now, yes. Yeah. It's not going to do anything good for the wheat, but the soybeans and the corn really, really could do it. They look exceptionally well considering the rain we've had, yes.
You're going to really be wanting to hear what our grain marketing specialists have to say, I think, because you know what? They're going to be, the prices are one of the biggest challenges when you're farming, too.
For sure.
Yeah.
As a farmer, you don't have to go to Vegas to gamble.
Yeah.
We gamble a big way on the markets, for sure.
Just one more thing I was going to ask you about here, Bruce. Can you tell us what it is, what are you doing in the next 2 days, 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 days? 2 hours, two days, 2 weeks, 2 months. What are you doing the next 2 hours?
Well, we'll be talking to a lot of customers here at the Pot Day and Ear today.
Yeah.
And then after we get home, my son will be asking me where I am so I can start helping him
take
the wheat harvest off.
And yeah, how's he handling that? Is he just filling all the wagons up and you got to move them tonight?
Well, he's filling them all up, and my other son, once he's done work, he's going to be taking them into town. So
yeah.
So yeah, I can get to the age that hopefully I just tell them what to do.
It's a nice feeling, isn't it? You probably spent lots of hours behind a dusty old combine wheel like most of us have, I think.
Yes, yeah.
So grateful to have a younger generation come along. They have energy and they're keen to do that kind of stuff.
That's
great. Yeah. And in the next 2 months, are you taking some holidays before the soybean harvest?
No, not likely.
Okay.
It'll be usually fairly busy.
Yeah.
No, usually plan your trips usually in the wintertime when it's slower down.
Yeah, got it.
So usually February or something like that.
Okay, so hopefully you'll be able to find some sun and sand by that time or whatever your passion is. Are you a curler by any chance? Do you like to...
No, don't do too much curling. We usually just go to the hockey arenas watching the grandchildren. So
Yeah. That's a fundamental part of anybody's just hanging out in the community and doing those types of things. It's a great, a lot of fun. It's a good deal.
Yes.
Yeah. And in 20 years, are you going to build a boat in your basement and sail around the world or something? What do you think?
I don't know what it'll all bring.
Bruce, I got one last thing I was going to hope maybe you could help me out with here. I got a little promo I asked all my guests to speak and if you wanted to start into it, I might could show you this bit sooner. Did we could pick out a song you like? What is a song you like? Did you figure one out? Well, you got to pick out your glasses. You like me, right? Don't worry. Just have a look at that quick. So what Bruce is looking at is, you know, I get all my lovely guests here to just do a little promo for us, the agriculture show, the station, community radio, agriculture. And so it's a bit of a long stretch there, but I'm not too sure. Are you fishing for your... Oh, he's got the technical stuff going on there, too. So you feeling optimistic, Bruce? Think you can power through that thing for me, please?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even have my glasses here.
Maybe these ones would help.
Yeah. Oh, these ones would help. Yeah, these ones would help.
Yeah. Those are like number twos or something. Does that help?
So what do you want me to do?
You just read the whole thing through. Hi, I'm Bruce from Hensel.
Oh.
And just read the whole darn thing. Or not. We're part of it.
So what? I am Bruce.
Yeah.
From Hensel.
Yeah.
This is CKMX Radio Waterloo.
Yeah.
We are live streaming on the FS band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 946 on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through spoken word and music. You're listening to the Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the former farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the national hard work and passion that is embraced with of the region of Waterloo. WFA strives to bring together the possible needs of farmers, of the policies, needs of society.
That's a bit of a long stretch there, yeah. I'm sorry to ambush you with that one there. It's just something I like to get my guests to do if they have a chance to talk about. This helps us. The station is sponsored, or this show is sponsored by the Federation of Agriculture, and we want to give them a little bit of credit for doing that. So, Bruce, any last words? You're going to head off to your... Are you stationed here in this area, or do you have... Like, I see the Dieselex Gold and the UPI Energy trucks over there. Do you have to go hang out there with those guys and talk about your product, or what's your job today?
Well, we're actually going to be, after the show is done, we're going to be fueling all the customers' vehicles with gas or diesel fuel. So we're going to be talking to the customers as we leave about all the energy products that we do offer.
Very nice.
The trucks you see here are just basically just on show.
Yeah. Okay. All right, folks. Bruce, thanks so much for sitting in here and talking with us today. I know it's kind of got ambushed, but I really appreciate you doing this.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
All right. So with that, folks, we're going to go back to some music, and we'll come back with some more guest speakers in a bit. And you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, the Agriculture Show here on Great Community Radio, radiowaterloo.ca. And we'll see you on the other side of this music break, and I hope you're enjoying your day. Talk to you in a bit.
Okay, hi. This is Tony McQuail from Lucknow, Ontario. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We're live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 9:46, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You're listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents farmer producers in the region of Waterloo.
Just going live there. Okay, here we go. We're back. It's the Agriculture Show. We are live today from a grower test plot put on by FS Partners in the township of North Dumfries. And another great guest has showed up. And I just want to... Brian?
Brian, yep. That's Brian Hensey.
Let me get the whole name down here so I get it right, because your lovely host has got, like, sometimes, half a wit about remembering everything. So.
Yeah, last name's H-E-N-Z-E.
Z-E, okay. Yep. Brian, thanks for sitting down.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm going to ask you right off the bat, tell us about a favorite artist that you like and a song.
Well, growing up in the 80s, I'm a hard rocker, so anything AC/DC or Ozzy or something like that. I'm actually going to see Def Leppard and Journey in person here next month. Going to go to their live concert shows. I think they were just up here just a few weeks ago, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yep, going to be going to that one. So, AC/DC... Rock and Roll Train from their last album, okay. Our next to last album. Went and saw them in person. So something along that line would be just right down my alley.
I'm going to write down Rock and Roll Train, and yep. I think I can probably find out on our good friends at YouTube, I suspect. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, good friends at YouTube will have that one. You know.
I'm sure glad you talked about the concerts coming up. Do you go like to see concerts on a regular basis? No.
I try to. Now that my kids are grown and gone, I try to be, anytime I can, I try to go to any concert. I've actually got three scheduled in August that I'm going to tickets for.
I want to hang around with you for a while. that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, all right. Tell us a little bit more about what you do. What do you do besides climbing, rocks and building a boat in the basement? What capacity are you here today?
Well, for the actual job portion of my life,
yes.
I'm here for technology. I'm into the precision, what we used to call the precision technology departments of agriculture.
Yeah.
I actually started in the FS system 28 years ago. I've got 24 years that I've actually been dealing directly with technology, and I really like the technology side of it, because you're always learning. You're always trying to teach farmers a new way of doing things.
Yep.
And I don't want to say teach them, but help them understand how a piece of technology can better their operation, make them more money, make them safer, make them a big buzzword in agriculture right now is 4R.
Yes.
The right source, right place, right time, and technology helps so much with that, in the fact that yield monitors. For several years, we were an ag leader dealer. The company I was working with, when I was in member company at a local level, now I'm with Growmark, so I'm a regional person, and I help try to get that technology out to the member companies and help them understand it. I do a lot of trainings. But just if you take a yield monitor and you record what you harvest and you put back exactly what you take off by the bushels that you remove, because we know exactly how much a bushel of corn or a bushel of soybeans or a bushel of wheat removes.
Yes.
So we're not over applying. We're being good stewards of the soil, good stewards of the farming community, that's where technology is really paying off now, because it not only helps the farmer in his inputs and his costs, but it also helps him put it in the right place. It doesn't get in the groundwaters. It doesn't go where it shouldn't, because he's only putting back what he's needing to put back.
Right.
And it's just, technology has just been great to try and do that.
We'll talk some more about that. Just occurred to me there are two things I got to do. First of all was, you know what? We had a previous guest talk about the job opportunities in agriculture with the technology, and anybody came out here for a day, you're 16 years old, you'd find something fun. But yep. Let's not forget, it is about, the question I want to ask you is, how many people sit around the Henze Christmas table feast every year? Tell us about your family and where you live.
My family and where I live. Well, I grew up in southern Illinois on a family farm. I ran tractors. My dad was actually, before the invention of Roundup soybeans, the old public variety soybeans.
I know about that.
Yeah, I do too. and the reason is my dad used to raise foundation seeds, and we had our own cleaner and bagger, and he had his own small seed business. And that's what I actually grew up in, was running the baggers and 60-pound bags of soybean seed. And, oh, my gosh, yeah. But around the table right now, there's 9 of us.
Yeah, very nice.
There's my dad is still alive. His health isn't very well. He's really gotten up there in his years. He retired from farming, 15, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom and dad still live on the farm. My sister and her husband live about a mile and a half down the road on another little small farm. Then I've got 2 boys. One's in the military. And one is still in college at this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nice little small family group left.
That sounds like the quintessential family farm all over North America.
Yep.
And good to hear mom and dad are still putting around and you got the farm still running. I guess you probably get down there once in a while and help trim some weeds, or maybe you just run some machinery. I don't know. What are you doing down at the farm?
When I go down the farm, it's giving dad a tour, put him in the side of the pickup or the golf cart or whatever we've got running for the day, and we go tour and look at the crops and do our stand counts and populations and yield estimations. I'm normally down there at least every 2 to 3 weeks. It's about a 2-hour drive for me to get to the farm from where I live.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just going down and making sure everything's just the way it should be is basically what we do now.
Oh, yeah. So, the headquarters is in Chicago, right, for you guys, right?
No. So headquarters is in Bloomington Normal. So Bloomington, center of the state, is where Growmark's headquarters is at.
Yep.
I'm maybe there once every 4 to 6 weeks. I actually work out of my vehicle is really what I work out of, because I travel. Just going around and meeting with all the different members, just like coming up here to FS Partners today.
Yeah.
You know, coming up, helping make sure that they've got the idea of the technologies and what's going on, and helping educate their farmers. That's more what my job is than anything, is just education on this precision technology.
You must see a lot of territory and air miles in a year. How big is your territory?
I cover Ontario, Canada, and then I cover southern Illinois. So I've got about a little over a third of the state of Illinois. And then Growmark has branched out with co-ops out into the east, so I have Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Delaware.
Oh.
So
that's a lot.
It must.
where are you headed off to after today's event? Are you going to the Alliston event on Wednesday?
No, I'm actually going to go north of here to the North Wellington Co-op. I'm going to spend Thursday with them and do some similar thing that we're doing here, education, talking to the farmers with them on a plot day type scenario. Next week, I'm going to be in St. Louis, Missouri at the big InfoAg conference, which is the big technology conference for North America in the summer. I'll be there for 3 days listening to the different speakers and walking the show floor and learning about new technologies that hopefully I should know about, but, you know, I've got to brush myself up. It's hard to stay up with this because it's an ever-changing world.
As we were talking before the show started, the acronyms nowadays and what it means as far as technology, it's difficult to keep up.
UHR, ultra high resolution, and drone, which is a UAS, and all of those different.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, 24 years in this business of technology, and I still struggle with all the acronyms that they keep throwing around. So,
Do you have a favorite social media that you use? Are you a Facebook guy, or do you do Twitter? Are you familiar with all those things?
Familiar with all of them, being on the technology side. I am more of a work-wise, I'm a Twitter guy, so anything to do with work, I'm normally posting on Twitter. Family-wise, I'm an Instagram guy. I sort of shy away from Facebook a little bit. Instagram and Twitter are pretty much my two places.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. It's hard to keep up.
It is, but
over time, you do kind of find certain ones work better than others. So
that's right. That's right.
So we talked about a little bit what you're doing. You're an IT guy with GrowMark, and you're headquartered in Bloomington, and you up and all the way from New Jersey to Ontario and. Oh, you don't go as far as the Dakotas the other day.
No, I actually stop at the Illinois line. My counterpart does Northern Illinois. I forgot. I do Michigan, too. But he does Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
He does Wisconsin and Iowa, and then he goes west.
Yeah.
So we're pretty much there's two of us, and we've got it split in half is what we've got.
Sounds good. You probably have to sit down with him once in a while and catch up on stuff, too, I would think.
we pretty much talk about every day.
Yeah. Our show is the Agriculture Show. We want to bring the message of agriculture to our urban listeners. Do you have a message for our urban listeners? Can you tell them whether there's brown brown milk comes from brown cows or not? What do you tell people about agriculture?
The thing that I think that people don't understand about agriculture, just like they've grown with a computer in their daily life or their smartphone in their daily life, and they're checking their weather or their markets or their Facebook or whatever. Agriculture's going the same way.
Yeah.
There's a ton of technology out there to make our food safer, to make our groundwater safer, to make the farmer better at using his input, so he's just not throwing money away either. And I don't want to say throwing money away, but just spending a dollar here where it's only going to make him 50 cents, where over there it could make him a dollar 25 on return, so he's still in business.
And at the same time, be environmentally friendly, environmentally, you know, the agriculture covers all you pass out.
Exactly.
Yep.
I don't think a lot of people realize this in agriculture, but there's different areas of agriculture. You've got your retailers with your fertilizer and your chemicals and your seed and whatever. And there's also the animal side of agriculture, which is, you know, a lot of farmers may be on the crop side and do a little bit of animals. And you got guys that do a lot of animals and do a little bit with the cropping. They grow just enough to feed the animals. Their focus is the animals. And on the animal side, too, it's the same way. You've got the manures, you've got the feeding stuffs, and all of that. And the technology is into that side of it just as well. You know, we know we're feeding safe feeds. We know we're doing things to make the animals grow without using all the steroids and stuff now and the antibiotics.
Yeah.
We've learned how with technology not to do that.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize when they think of that. That's all they think of. Same way with even applying the manure to the ground. We put safeners in it now. So that the nitrogen doesn't run off and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of things that we do with technology in agriculture that people don't realize.
Well, I'm glad you're here because I think there's a majority of our listeners, urban people, to 95% of them, they just want to know what agriculture and they're just delighted to hear what is actually happening out there. And just want to thank you for taking that time to say some of these things.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm all about educating everybody. It's not just one person, but the more people we educate and they understand what we're doing, the better off we are for everyone.
Yeah. Do you have any hobbies you like to mess around with besides going to all these concerts?
Yeah, I've got a couple different hobbies.
Yeah.
I'm an avid motorcyclist.
Yes.
Whether it be dirt bikes on trails or a cruiser down the highway, I've got both. The other thing that I do, I guess I'm a glutton for public service, but I'm on a dive rescue team. I'm on a rescue dive team.
My goodness.
I dive personally for fun and recreation. Now on the team, I don't dive. I'm only good for about two dives in a day, and then my ears start to mess up a little bit. I can't equalize anymore. But what a lot of people don't realize about public safety diving is that every diver that goes down has a rope attached to him, and there's a shore responder there that's his lifeline. Last week, I was supposed to be on vacation or holiday, and I ended up on a six-day diving expedition because we had a gentleman drown in our local river where I'm at. And it took us 6 days to find him and return him back to his family, which is, even though it's a bad situation, it's very satisfying when you're able to bring that person home.
Oh, we're getting a horn. What's that?
Yeah, that means we got 10 minutes left on the session, and the whole group's going to be coming to join us.
Okay, well, then we're just going to keep motoring along, Brian, and talk about two last things here. One is... what are you doing in the next... we'll do that last.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about this here, promo that. But I got a question for you. So what are you doing in the next 2 hours and 2 days and 2 weeks and 2 months? 2 years, 20 years if you want to go that far. Go ahead. Start that 2 days, 2 hours.
Well, 2 hours from now, I'll probably be helping clean up everything from this wonderful plot tour we're at here today with all these farmers.
Mm-hmm.
2 days, I'll be doing a plot tour in North Wellington. And 2 weeks, where am I going to be in 2 weeks? I think in 2 weeks I'm out in the eastern region meeting with those guys and doing sort of a similar thing from there. 2 months from now, that'll be a good one because we'll be in the heart of harvest, and as all these combines are running and the yield monitors are collecting data and there's issues or problems, I'll be helping fix that data so that we can use it. I do a lot of that in the fall.
There's another whole bunch of shows.
Oh, that's just, we could do two shows on that kind of stuff.
That'd be fun.
Two years from now, probably be doing the same job, probably be back right here. In about 8 years, I'll probably be retired.
Okay. So. But 20 years, maybe you have some grandkids by then. I don't know how many.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Who knows what's going on there. Last thing I want to ask you to do before we finally sign up, we're going to get kicked out of here pretty soon. Would you be so kind as to read off this year promo?
Yep.
I get all my guests to do it. You know what, Brian? You're going to be on the show for the next 2 or 3 years. I'll be playing this every once in a while. Go ahead there.
All right, I will. So... here we go. Hello. This is Brian, and I am actually from Illinois in the United States. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of the show and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio. And the horn got us on that one.
Just start there. Go ahead.
The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
That's great. Thanks for doing that, Brian.
Oh, you are quite welcome.
And I think we're going to get Bob Bullitt here pretty quick. Just play some music, and listeners, you can hang in there. But just first thing I want to do, thank you so much for sitting down and talking to us.
My pleasure.
I'm glad you were part of our mission with the Agriculture Show here with Community Radio to get our story about agriculture, an important part of that. And I hope you have a good, safe trip, and in 8 years when you retire, you have time to go diving in a fun way, I suppose.
I hope so. I just want to say thank you for just having me, asking me to be here. I always enjoy coming up here, and great people, great area, great communities. You've got a fabulous thing going on up here.
Thanks for saying that. And with that, folks, we're gonna pause and play music for a while. This program is continuing on. You listen to CKMS Radio, 102.7. Radio.ca, and our frequency is 102.7. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later on. Bye for now.
Hi, I'm Tom Woodcock, planning ecologist at the Rare Charitable Research Reserve in Cambridge. We work tirelessly to improve and conserve land in the region of Waterloo. Please join us in supporting community radio and help Rare turn the map green.
Force a smile, hope I feel better in a little while. And when I feel the sunshine, oh, I start to feel fine. When I see a rainbow, you know I start to glow. Like everyone around shares a circle. So everyone around shares a circle. And if you break the ground, well, share the food. And if you didn't do the work, come on and pay what it's worth, and everyone will share the circle. Like yesterday's less work for tomorrow when you love today. And when I feel the sunshine, oh, I start to feel fine. When I see a rainbow, you know I start to glow. Like everyone around shares a circle of, so everyone around, come on, share a circle of. And if the warmonger cries, we go to battle now. While people pray for peace and stand together loud, and everyone will share the circle of. It is enough to go around, so let's share our wealth until everyone's fed. Till everyone's in good health, and just imagine, oh, imagine a way, and let there be a will, and everyone will share the circle, and everyone will share the circle, and everyone will share the circle, and everyone will share the circle.
Hi, I'm Sue.
And I'm Janet.
I'm from Woodstock.
And I'm from Embro.
We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca.
Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
You're listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio.
The WFA represents the farmer producers in the Waterloo region.
Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo.
Hi, I'm Beverly Robertson from Port Carling, Ontario. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo.
Our guest speaker is Ryan White, and so he is the Director of Agronomy Services with GrowMark, and so we work pretty close with him and are happy to have him up visit us here in Ontario, and I'll let him tell you guys all a little bit about himself, and after he does his session, then we can enjoy some lunch together and talk some grain markets. So I'll pass it to Ryan. Thank
you. All right. Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Staying cool? Yeah, this is nice. Got a good breeze today. So want to give you just a little bit of my background, because there's always the question of, okay, what gives this person the right to come up and talk to us about what he's going to talk about today? So give you a little bit of my background. I've been in the industry for 21 years this year. Started out primarily in the seed business. So did a lot of work in seed production, seed research, seed facilities, on and on and on. Then from there was a crop specialist, did a lot of crop sales and nutrient work with farmers in central Illinois. I've been all over. I've actually grown corn. I've had the opportunity to grow corn in over 13 states in the U.S. and the Ontario province. I came here in a previous life and did a lot of work in southern Ontario. So have been around the industry, done a lot of different things. I don't know if that's because I can't hold a job or it's because I just find other things interesting at the time to go on and learn. I did grow up on a farm in North Central Illinois. Actually was just on the farm this weekend crop scouting, and I would much take your weather for crop scouting. It was about 96 degrees Fahrenheit when I was crop scouting this weekend in my own farm, and so I would welcome this, though I'd be glad to send you some water that we've got right now, because we're on the opposite end of your spectrum. We're actually drowning where we're at. So we'd be glad to, if there's a way I could put it in a truck and bring it up to you, I would do it tomorrow. You know, I was wondering how long we were going to get into the trade discussion before I got here. That's a record. That's a record. So I want to go through a little bit today and give you maybe a glimpse, both what we do, maybe behind the scenes that you don't see, as a tech, you know, from a farmer standpoint, technology with seed. And then I'm going to walk us through some other technologies. But everything I'm going to talk about is really somewhat forward-looking, if you will. Because I think sometimes we really do worry about today, and we need to think about what we do today, how are we going to do it tomorrow, and how do I start working towards that future that might be out there. So I'm just going to hit my presentation. I give Nicole a lot of credit. She knew that I don't like to be looked at when I present, and I'm not that attractive of a person, so she put the screen up there where you guys can look away from me while we talk here. But our discussion today, really, seed quality. I think a lot of times, do you guys ever ask your salesman, why does that bag of seed cost that much? I'm sure you never do that, right? So I want to talk seed quality, maybe GMOs or non-GMOs, or is it a GMO in the future? Technology in the field, things that we could do today that will only get better as we move forward. Equipment. This is always an interesting one because I think equipment manufacturers are really at a crossroads both now and in the future of where do they go. And then big data. Everybody likes to talk about data, right? Now I can all watch the eyes roll in the back of your head and go, data, I don't want to talk about data, I want to talk about farming. Let's talk about how data really is, what it's going to mean to agriculture, what it means to you as a farmer, and doing some things to now, and where it might go in the future as we move forward. So first one is seed quality improvements. And some of the pictures aren't going to show up, so I'm going to describe them as best I can. If you have questions, feel free to raise your hand, and I'll try to answer, or I'll make up an answer or give the microphone to Nicole, one or the other. But we'll go from there. So seed treatment equipment. First of all, with seed treatment equipment, if you look up there, I've got a picture of what they call a high-rate treater, and it's also has connected to it a dryer. Anything, does that treater look like anything that you pull into when you're at your co-op? They probably have a big drum that's doing the treating downstream. That treater right there can put on 18 different chemistries. Most treaters downstream can only put on two, maybe three at the most. If it's in combination with another chemical, then they can add it. 18 different chemistries that we can put on seed upstream when we're treating corn. So when you think about that today, most companies are usually using between 6 and 8 different seed treatments on the seed today. The future will be 16 to 18 different chemistries coming on your seed. Everything from hard, what we call hard chemistries, fungicide, insecticide chemistries, to biologicals, or even nitrogen enhancement treatments. There are such things being worked on that are biological treatments that get put on upstream that actually improve nitrogen efficiency in corn in the early on stages of the corn growth. So this equipment here, if you look, it's completely self-contained. There's no seed floating around. There's no dust floating around. There's nothing happening except that seed is going inside a chamber, being coated with 16 to 18 different chemistries in the future. So something that the seed companies are making investments in and continue to make investments in to improve stand establishment, because we know stand establishment is a key part of what we've got to do to get our yield out there in the field. Let's examine seed differently. So today, can I talk without that? Or should I keep it? Can you hear me if I talk up? I'm going to go without it because
I'm Owen Roberts from the GMOs. You are listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
Here we go, and we're back, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 102.7, and thanks for listening in today. We are live today from field day for producers, and put on by FS Partners, which is our local co-op. And to that end, all kinds of interesting people have showed up to speak about the business and what goes on and so forth. And right now, I want to talk to a guest who very kindly volunteered. I love it when people volunteer. Now, let me get this right. Your full name is?
It's Tim Lotch.
Okay, Tim. And I want to, first of all, ask you, what kind of music do you like? Do you have a favorite artist or song? And what's going to happen is I'll edit it into this final broadcast, and you'll hear a song you like. What kind of favorite artist? What do you like to hear?
Well, I would probably describe it as American blues roots music. I love Old Crow Medicine Show. I love bluegrass, too. So,
can you give me an artist and a song?
How about Steel Drivers' Dark Side of the Mountain?
Okay, so the band is Steel Drivers and Dark Side of the Mountain. Have you had a chance to see these guys in concert at all?
I have not. No, I really would like to sometime.
All right. I've got it written down. I'll proceed to get that file up and into this thing, and away we go. Tim, first question. When you sit around, let's get to know you a little bit. When you have your annual Christmas feast, how many people sit around the Locke family table?
Well, I would say it's probably about 20 or so. Yeah. It's a relatively smaller family, but yeah, it's we all get home for Christmas, so yeah, it's a good time.
And where is your home?
I live in a little town called Altamont, which is in the southern part of the state of Illinois. So
right.
I'm a visitor to Ontario.
Well, and welcome to our fine province here. We have some nice weather. Boy, it was awful hot last week.
Yeah.
I think you guys got even worse stuff down
there.
Yeah,
it's been really hot.
Yeah, I know. So
it's a nice break up here.
you got some people in your family who are still farming away. You're obviously in the industry, but do you have aunts and uncles and things that's... or nephews or something?
Well, believe it or not, I also farm. So I,
excellent.
I've just taken over the family farm from my dad. So
yeah.
He's still a little bit active as well, but trying to give it a go myself.
Oh, and it's quite a challenge at times, isn't it?
It is. In this market environment, it is definitely a challenge. I think somebody was telling me that if you can survive this, you can survive anything in farming. So
well, I'm really glad you're here, because our show is all about bringing the news of agriculture to our urban listeners. And, oh, my gosh, here you are wearing two hats today. You're actually farming, and you're also representing. Let's talk about what it is you do. I'm looking quickly. I'm reading on your jacket, an AgriTain Plus. Tell us what this is, what it is that you do.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a technical agronomist,
yeah.
And I work for Koch Agronomic Services. And we are a company that makes nitrogen stabilizer products,
mm-hmm.
and also stabilized nitrogen fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, our main mission is to help farmers be more profitable while also protecting the environment.
That's a good point, and I think our listeners would like to hear that stuff. Majority of non-farm people, they're just interested to know what we do out in the farm. And AgriTain, I use that product, and it does have that part of it that is very environmentally friendly, that the product is, stays suspended or immobilized. It doesn't break down as fast as it would normally.
Yeah, AgriTain has been around for many years, a very scientifically proven mode of action that acts as a urease inhibitor. So it prevents the conversion of urea to carbon dioxide and ammonia,
yeah.
Because ammonia is subject to volatilization loss, outgassing loss.
Yeah.
And so the whole purpose of it is to really keep the nitrogen where the farmer needs it when the plant needs it.
Yeah, wow, good product, good idea, and I hope our listeners can appreciate that there's a lot of science involved in modern agriculture, and it's all for the good.
That's right.
And when you're not busy doing that, are you by any chance, a rock climber, or do you have a hobby where you fly an airplane or something? What else do you like to do?
Well, I wish I had an interesting life like that, but I'm afraid I don't really have much of a hobby. I guess a point of interest, I did run a brewery for 3 years, so I guess you could call beer making a hobby, maybe.
Well, I'm glad I asked, because inevitably, everyone is more than just what they're... There's a real person in behind all these things, and a brewery operator is really a fun, and I'm sure there's a whole story right there. That'd be a lot of fun to follow up on. Do you have a message for our listeners? You know, we think our target audience is mostly... urban, since we are in a metropolitan area of 500,000 people, and if it's local radio, we'd like to, bring a message about agriculture to these people. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had people say, "Hey, Jeff, do brown cows give brown milk?" But they people want to know things about agriculture. What would you tell people about agriculture?
Well, the farmers that we work with, who are ultimately the end users of our products, are a very diligent stewards of the land and the resources that really underpin the entire industry.
Yeah.
And, our mission is really to support their efforts in 4R nutrient stewardship. That is making sure we've got the right source of fertilizer in the right place at the right time, for the crop. And so, we're just happy that we can make products that are supportive of that mission.
Mm-hmm. And people should be reassured that there's not just crazy stuff going on out there. There's a lot of thought and conservation of money and environment. A lot of thought goes into modern agriculture. It's not just the crazy stuff happening out there. There's a lot of regulation and thought put into modern agriculture.
Absolutely. What we do in agriculture has to be sustainable for the long term, which means it has to be profitable, but it also has to be environmentally supported. And we feel like we play an important role in that.
That's an excellent point, profitable. Farmers are doing the best they can, and they just want to be able to put their kids through school, take a vacation once in a while, and in order to do that craft, they do the best they can, just trying to live a normal life like anyone else.
Yeah, and, hopefully have some capital to grow their business over time. It's typical, small business entrepreneurs. That's what farmers are.
Oh, isn't capital wonderful? Are you a lottery player? Do you like to put your thing in for the Powerball lottery or something? See if you can, what's the old story? I'm going to show you how to make a small fortune. I'm going to start with a large fortune first. Well, that's good news. So you have, I like your message about agriculture. It's great, folks. People like Tim here are busy trying to make sure the most modern attitudes towards agriculture are there, environmental, cost-effective. Just those things are important values nowadays, and people like to see that. So I think we're going to get shoved out of here pretty quick, I think, but I got one more. We covered the music. Do you go to a regular concert, Gore, by any chance?
I'm sorry?
Do you go to concerts on a regular basis?
I haven't for quite a while, actually, believe it or not. I used to a lot when I was younger, but I haven't in a while. So.
Yeah, okay. Some people really like hitting out the concerts. And you don't have teenagers yet or nothing like that, Darren, do you?
Oh, I do, yeah. I've got a teenage daughter starting at University of Illinois this fall, and I've got a teenage son at home, too, so yeah. I got my hands full.
I thought maybe you'd take... I guess they don't want Dad tagging along to
the
music.
No, that's not cool.
I forgot about that. And if you ever got bored, you could go back to being a brewery operator. Was that a good experience? Did you enjoy that?
I did. It was a great experience. I did it right after I graduated with my master's degree, and so I didn't have a lot of commitments. And we really enjoyed our time at the brewery. So.
Yeah, good stuff. I got one last question for you here, Brian. I'm mindful that we're going to get another guest speaker that's coming on pretty soon to talk about prices of agricultural commodities. We had those guys on early this morning. My last question for you, sir, is what are you doing the next 2 hours and the next 2 days and the next 2 weeks and the next 2 months and the next 2 years? Just start right there. What are you doing the next two hours?
So we're going to go visit some plots this afternoon, looking at real farmers, testing our products on their farms and see what kind of response they're getting.
Yeah.
The next couple of days, I've got another event like this one, So we are, you know, talking about some of our products to another farm group in the northern part of the province. Next couple weeks, we're visiting several of our university researchers, cooperators that we work with across the United States. Mm-hmm. To, again, look at more formalized type research plots. The next 2 years, it's hard to say what I might be doing, but I'm sure it'll involve coming back to Canada. So
yeah, how big how big of a territory do you cover?
I cover the eastern half of the United States, plus Ontario.
Wow.
So my main job is to support the salespeople in those regions, making sure they've got the technical information they need to do their job well.
You put a lot of air miles or SUV miles on or something there.
I've spent a lot of time at airports, unfortunately.
So that's the next 2 years. What about the next 20 years? Are you expecting to be maybe a grandparent by then? Heaven, you know, that scare you?
Well, you know, if the good Lord smiles on me, maybe I'll be a grandfather, and you know, maybe I'll retire in 20 years. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true too. Guess we all got to look at that. Time marches on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Before we go, would you mind just reading this little promo for me, please?
Yeah, sure.
We got a piece of rock on top of it here. So what this is, folks, is, as you know, I ask all the lovely guests just to do a little promo for us, the station, community radio, agriculture in general. And I'll ask Tim if he would like to start into that and go through that, and we'll hear you on the radio for many years.
Sure.
Go ahead at your leisure.
Hi. This is Tim Lotch. I am a technical agronomist with Koch Agronomic Services from the state of Illinois. This is This is CKMS, easier said than done. Radio Waterloo, we are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Boy, Tim, you did a good job with that. You have a future in radio. That just flowed nice and even. That was great.
Yeah, if you ignore the first paragraph, we did okay.
Well, with that, I want to just thank you so much for taking 5 minutes from a busy day here to sit down with us. We're at the outdoor show today. FS Partners putting on with farmers and representatives like Tim come in and talk about products and. We're just having a real beautiful day today, isn't it?
Oh, just gorgeous. Couldn't have ordered better.
I know. We're so lucky. And so with that, folks, just stay locked in. We're going to keep on playing some music, and we'll be going to 2 o'clock. And if I get fortunate enough, we'll have some more visitors like Tim. And thanks so much for sitting down with us, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We'll see you in a short bit. But folks, take care.
No one Hi there. This is Barry Hill from the Six Nations of the Grand River, just downriver from where we are today. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Cold, cold thoughts I follow through. Home, it ain't for me or you. Floors these boards are cracked in two. And oh, oh, still ourselves in crowded rooms, 'cause face and thoughts ain't a thing we do. When lines are all that well, we're trying.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And
is everybody got lots to eat? Working on it? I'm Jim Irvin. I'm a grain originator for Great Lakes Grain. And this is Devin Homick, who's a zone grain originator and the coach for the grain originators in the province. And we're going to talk to you about grain marketing right now. Before we start, does anyone know similarities to the Liberal Party in Ontario and a Dodge Caravan? Well, they both have seven seats. Anyway, I'd like to introduce our team here today for the Great Lakes grain buying team. Don Cabas is here. Don is the general manager of Great Lakes Grain. Devin, of course, up here. Lynn Smitson out of Delhi. Jason Huber out of Drayton. And I'd like to introduce Ian Brunsville, who's our summer intern, who puts out all the Twitter messages. Not at 3 in the morning? Okay.
No. We don't allow that.
That's the guy in the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do put a lot of, we do a lot of social media. We hope you take advantage of it. Well, right now, we're going to ask a question of the audience. And how many people in the audience do a crop plan for agronomy, fertilizer, seed? Put your hands up. Now, Devin, we've got a few people put their hands up. What's the next most important question?
Yeah, so Jim had asked how many people do an agronomy plan. So plant, where you're going to plant your seed, what your fertilizer you're going to use, you know, maybe some precision agriculture. Next plan is, we didn't have a lot of hands up, so I don't think everybody's listening, a lot of people are reading. But how many people do a written grain marketing plan? Show of hands. Definitely less. Definitely less. So that's what we're here to talk about today.
Okay, so we've got some work to do, okay? Everybody does a great job to grow their crop, produce a great crop. The question is, are you doing a good job to market your crops and get the most out of your commodity. So up until May 24th, growers had a great opportunity to get some fantastic prices for not only wheat, but corn and soybeans. After May 24th, things have changed. How did the farmers take advantage of that?
Well, it's always tough to talk about when the markets are down or lower. We definitely see really good prices right up till May 24th and shortly after that. But we've seen a big sell-off in the markets, corn and beans especially. We've lost 65, 70 cents in the corn market, and we've lost as much as $2 in the soybean market. So we've had a pretty big drop there. Looking forward, what do guys do? People say, should we sell today? Take a look at your numbers. Today might not be a bad place to make another sale. Everybody always asks, can markets go further down from here? Sure, why couldn't they? We're trading roughly about 360 DEIS contract on corn. Last year, that DEIS contract got to 335 before it closed out at the end of October. So there is still lots of time for this market to drift lower. Beans actually here last week, they hit a low we haven't seen on futures since 2007. So we're definitely, some of that talk with tariffs and things like that have pushed the markets down. Look for any opportunity. Making a sale today might not be a bad price. Take a look at what you sold and see if you can't make it add some sales, because come harvest, price might not be any better. We traded 410, 420 corn at the elevator.
Okay, so we see where corn is today, just under 450. How much corn, is sold ahead of time? Like how many people pre-market and sell and take advantage of the higher markets throughout the year leading to harvest?
So we actually ran those numbers, Jim. Taking a look at the last 4 years, so 2014, 15, 16, 17, a customer delivering to the elevator, what do you think was the average price that people could have forward contracted before they delivered at harvest for? Throw out some numbers. What do you think that price would be? Okay, I heard $5. Any other prices? Okay, so 25% of the bushels we handle at our elevators is sold, forward marketed before harvest. 25% at $4.82. That's been the last 4 years, been the average price that farmers have sold for. Now, a big chunk of bushels are sold at harvest. What price do you think that would be? So they sold $4.82 forward contracted. What do you think that price would be then when they sold at harvest, the average over the last 4 years? That's saying October 1st to December 31st. Four? I heard $4. Any other numbers out there? Did I hear 440? 440 is bang on. So 440, so 42 cent difference. And at our elevators, 50% of the bushels, 50% of the bushels we handle are sold at harvest time. Guys need cash flow, things like that. They need their money. They're selling it at harvest. Last year, that spread was actually 488 forward contracted to 414 at harvest. So even a bigger spread, over 70 cents. So that's things to think about. Some of the things we want to talk about is a marketing plan and why that's important to do that. If you have a plan in place to make the crop sales, you're going to be better off. We would like to see guys get to 60, 75% of their crop sold before they ever bring it into the elevator versus only having 25% sold. History's been repeating itself. March to that July time frame. I'll get to that. Yep. Having that marketed kind of beforehand has definitely been advantageous to the farmer, especially since 2014. The charts have been the same every year. We've had that opportunity between March and July. If you didn't get your crop marketed in that time frame, you probably missed an opportunity. What price do you think guys sold at for once they brought it to the elevator, they stored it? What do you think that price would have been? We had 482 before harvest. 440 at harvest, what price would have been after harvest?
Net.
What's that?
Net of storage or what?
Just average price without storage on it. Okay, I seen $5, heard 5. 460. Okay, the price was actually 452 over the last 4 years. But you still have to take storage out of that. So you're right. Net 440 at harvest was still probably better value in the last 4 years than what guys sold at storing their bushels.
Okay, they store their, you know, the farmer holds out for $5, but as Devin said, he could have a 60 to 70 cent storage bill. So really, his net price is, you know, only in the 430 range. So that's a big change. So, Devin, right now we've got wheat harvest that has started in the province down below London. People are hard at it. We had some done at Aylmer. We have some done last night over at Hensel. What kind of conditions are we seeing the wheat come off in?
So one good thing is wheat quality so far looks pretty good. From what we've been hearing with our Essex area up into Chatham, crop looks pretty good. The only thing has been, I think yield's been off a little bit. If guys thought they had 100 bushel wheat, they might only be looking at about 85. So wheat yields haven't been as good. Some of those areas have been a little bit dry in that time frame when you get that kind of head fill. So it definitely hasn't been as good as maybe what head guys had hoped for.
So right now we're seeing, especially corn, the corn market, the beans to an extent, the wheat is higher, but how do I take advantage now, or what do I do as a grower to get back in the marketing scheme looking ahead?
Well, I think whether you start a marketing plan, whether you started one back in January or you start one today, it's still very valid. The problem is now your time isn't on your side for this year's crop. We've seen a good opportunity in the markets here up till, you know, the end of May. Now the market's gotten a lot harder to kind of market through. But you still have to look at what you have ahead of you. Prices could be worse. Making a sale today, having incremental prices from here, if the market gives it to you, good. Make a plan on those bushels. We can't, you know, say enough into why a marketing plan's very important to the farmer. Having an idea of what it costs you to grow that crop and getting to a number where you can start making a profitable decisions on your farm.
So right now we're seeing wheat one day, prices up. The next day, like today, it's down 18 cents. What's going on with this wheat market this year?
So there was some news there last week about some challenges in the Russian crop. European crop was looking tough. But yesterday, actually, they just put out some of the crop conditions. The crop condition in spring wheat was actually up. I think it was up around 80%, good to excellent. So the wheat crop's looking better. They did have some challenges in the States with some dry weather, but crop's starting to look better. No different than the corn or bean crop. You know, the corn crop is actually at a 75% good to excellent rating. That's almost historic highs. Last year this time, crop rating was at 65%, and the U.S. crop still yielded a record crop, 176.6. So we just had a report there of the acres in the States, 89.1 million acres. That's up 1.1 million acres from what they originally had intended for the acres to be. And we also had, you know, there's talk that yields could push up above that 176.6. So keep that in mind as you go through the last of this year before you harvest your crop. Beans are no different. Crop looks pretty good. 65% good to excellent rating is a very strong rating. I think 71, sorry, on beans. I wrote it down here. 71% good to excellent rating on soybeans right now, which is a high rating.
So how many people remember when we were at this meeting a year ago? We talked about you doing some marketing. It was last year, July 11th, the markets actually peaked that day. Okay, what happened a couple of days later? Everything turned and went down. We saw the markets peak this year on May the 24th. So a lot of people, Devin, were waiting for that June 29th report this year, the acreage report, because history tells you the market generally moves that day. Well, this year, very quiet. That market didn't move at all.
Yeah, Jim, it feels unfortunately that the ship had sailed a little bit when we got that that July report, or the late June report. So that's been some of the challenge for sure that, you know, we always think if we could all predict the high of the market, you know, we would sell our crop a lot different. And that's why we're so, you know, we keep promoting the plan, right? We'd like you to sit down, each of the people here in this room that produce a crop, we would love for you to sit down with one of our originators or one of our staff at the branch to go through a marketing plan. See what you need. You know, we've got guys today that we're doing marketing plans for, and you know, they're up 30, 40 cents from what they've done over the last 4 years. But it's just getting a little more controlled approach, making sales, having incremental sales, taking advantage of the rally. Too often, so today, if a farmer at the elevator wanted to sell $5 corn, so he puts an offer in $5 corn, yep, you got it. So you sold 10% of your production, and then the market starts to slide from there. Most guys don't make more sales on the downward slide. So we'd rather see you take advantage of, maybe start at 470, 480, and take nickel or dime increment sales. Make a few sales in there. Get a good chunk of your, if we could get farmers to getting to 50, even up to maybe 70% of your bought production, it could be beneficial for you in the end with more money in your pocket.
So, Devin, big thing in the news right now is the tariffs that have gone on. We have had a tariff imposed on Canada for aluminum and steel. The U.S. Has put tariffs throughout the world, and they implemented tariffs against China for billions of dollars last Friday. China retaliated and put tariffs back on the U.S. against beans, corn, wheat, among other things. As a Canadian farmer, all of a sudden, am I going to get more money for my beans and my corn because we can ship to China? Are we going to get more money?
It's really tough to say, Jim. A lot of that stuff, when you're looking at that, we're ultimately, you know, we're tied fairly close to the U.S. in trade. And we only produce so much. So, yes, we might get some advantage a little bit on basis. We've seen some market get a little hotter recently. But ultimately, we don't ship the huge amounts that the U.S. would do. So can I say that we're going to pick up that slack that the U.S. wouldn't? No. Like, we haven't also heard in the last years, so Argentina bought U.S. beans. We haven't heard that in a long time. My thoughts on it, maybe I'm not right, but if Argentina's buying U.S. beans, they're probably bypassing Argentina and going right to China anyways. So it's all things to be in mind. There's ways probably, even though they get the tariffs, there's ways they probably play the game to make it work.
So I've gone through, I had basically two chances this year. I had the February-March rally. I had the chance through May and early June. I've missed it. What do I do now?
Well, I think you have to take a close look at what you sold. That's the first thing, you know? Look at what your acres are. Look at what your yield might be. Look at what your production is. If you've made sales, take a close look at that number. If you made another sale today, what would that do to your average? Biggest thing is we just don't know what the market will give you by the time you get to harvest. So now a person with their own bins, there's probably some of you here that have your own bins, you might get another chance to sell the crop again at a good value. You know, again, in that time frame, that March to July time frame next year, if you put stuff away this fall, you might get another chance. But we've seen in the last few years, you were actually better at forward marketing your crop a year out than you were the year that you had it put in the bins. It's giving you better cash opportunities. So keep that in mind when you're marketing. Right now, the markets aren't great. They are what they are. The market is the truth. That's what the numbers are. So unfortunately, we can't will it to be anything different. It is what it is. take a look at the numbers, and make sales. Last year we told you to make sales when we were here on that day because we thought the market might go down, and it definitely did.
Thank you, Devin. And right now, corn and beans are not the price everybody wants to see, but definitely take advantage of the wheat market right now because historically at harvest, the farmer generally gets beat up. So, and look at those 19 and 20 values because they're still very strong. From the audience, would anyone like to ask us any questions? We try and frame this presentation, the questions that you might ask, but have we forgotten anything? Go ahead. Hey, Devin, do you want to take that?
Well, the biggest thing is if they don't buy from the U.S., we would hope that they look to buy beans from us versus maybe going to South America. One thing with South America is they have a lot of production. They have a lot of crop. Their struggle is to get it to the market, right? So we might be able to help facilitate some of that, and hopefully we'll pick up some maybe market share on that percentage if they go to, if they ban U.S. beans. But my head says those U.S. beans will one way or another get to China.
The other thing, the question once again is, will the Chinese tariffs help Canadian farmers? The other thing, everything still is marketed through Chicago. Okay, we may get the benefit on basis, okay, the boost in basis, but if Chicago keeps going down, that hurts us as well in our price. Is there any other questions? I'm sure there is. Okay, the question is, and it's a great question, how much of your crop should you forward contract? Good question.
And I think it ultimately depends on your comfortable level. But, you know, we've been pretty firm believers that guys should get up over, you know, if you got crop insurance, look at your crop insurance level. You know, you might want to get sold right up to crop insurance levels. If the price is 530 to 550 corn, why wouldn't you be getting sold up to those levels at those values? One thing is if you were short and had to, you know, wash your contract, your value, because it's higher, is probably going to be a lot less damage than if it was sold lower and you were short. So it's worth looking at. We'd like to see guys definitely get sold. We have that 25, 50, 25 at the elevator. We'd like to see guys getting up to 60, 75% sold on their production if possible. I know it sounds high and makes people uncomfortable, but we do an amazing job at growing the crop here locally. Mother Nature does always throw us curveballs, but usually we do produce a crop. So look at your area. Every area is going to be unique. You know, our sharp sand maybe down our way versus some of the heavier ground in other areas are going to vary, but you have to be comfortable with it ultimately. The plan is your plan. We just want to help facilitate it.
You got to think at 1.2, you should, in a bad year, you should at least get half a crop from your land. So it's the other way of looking at it. So, if you don't feel comfortable doing more. But any other questions? We want people to take advantage of the markets. Right now, wheat is still strong, even though it's lower today. Harvest is in full swing, but there are things that could pressure it down as we go full tilt into harvest. Devin?
Yeah, and with our marketing plan that we've been talking to you about, we have a few tools that we can utilize with the grower. So if some of you use today our online offer center or our portal, we can use that. Set your prices in there. So if you're looking to market grain for next year, you can do a whole regimen of offers at different increments and let the market do its work. This year, people sold corn to our elevator at 505. Did we ever see that price on the board through the day? No, that price hit in the overnight market. So it's one of those things to keep in mind. Sometimes you want to reach those highs of the market, you have to have your offers in place.
And when Devin says that about the markets, the day market runs from 9:30 in the morning till 2:15 in the afternoon. The markets open up at 8 o'clock at night, and run through till 8:45 the next morning, and they open again Sunday night at 8 o'clock. So the markets are open more than they're closed. So it's we've got into a worldwide market, and, you know, take advantage of that. We're open to taking texts if you see something, or phone calls. You see something happening after hours, we can put an offer in for you. So all kinds. We do it all the time. So if you're looking at the markets at night, you know, we'll take your call. So on behalf of Devin, myself, Don, who's here, and the entire Great Lakes team, thank you very much for coming out today. Nicole or Julie, I'm not sure if they want to. Here she comes. We'd like to thank you for having us here today, and have a safe trip home, everyone.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you coming out and talking about grain. Once we have all our agronomy learnings, that next step is grain, and you can work on those plans. So we'd like to thank you for coming out today, spending the day with us. Hope you learned something. I'd like to thank all of our FS partner staff and all of our industry people for making today happen, as well as you, our customers. So with that, the day's done, and if you want to tour around some more of the trials and dig around, you're more than welcome to. Otherwise, you're free to leave, and be sure to chat with our energy crew on the way out. Thank you.